Hi, welcome. Thanks for joining us today. Today I have with me Lisa Ryan, who's the manager of Ireland's National Centre for Brewing and Distilling. So we're going to have a chat about, well, about brewing and distilling and research and the whole thing. So thank you, Lisa, for making it time.
No worries.
For everybody, we had a little technical difficulty there, delayed us a second. We were a bit worried, but we made it. Lisa persevered through it and put up with it. So Lisa, you're the manager for the National Centre of Brewing and Distilling, but that is, as I understand it, that's part of Chagosc.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe we can start there, so with what Chagosc is for people who don't know, and then we can kind of come to the centre specifically.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm just joining from my phone here, so I look a bit scary. I'm a very close up to the camera there, so apologies.
Well, like I said, as I explained, there were technical difficulties. You persevered and made your way through things, so we're very lucky.
So I'm in Chagosc since January. So this is the centre in Carlow. So it's the crops research centre in Carlow, where we're based. And obviously there's a lot of research that happens here every year to support the tillage industry in Ireland, and a lot of trials. And we have probably up to 300 acres here on site in Carlow. And the aim is to support the industry from an agronomy point of view, and helping farmers optimize what they're doing, and the centre now will enable me to use what has been trialed in the field as such here, to put it through the centre. So currently we have the capability to malt, to micro malt and to pilot malt batches that have been grown here in Oak Park. So that allows me to put, so say, sample sizes from maybe 100 grams up to about 8 kgs in the micro maltings, and then larger batch sizes, then about a quarter of a ton batch sizes of grains through the pilot plant, and the intention is to develop that further to allow us to brew and distill those batches. Now we do currently have, just literally in the last couple of weeks, received in some brewing equipment and distilling equipment as well. Now they're small scale, so the brewing kit is about 60 litres, and the distilling kit is up to 100 litres. So it's still very much micro, but I suppose not lab scale. So we're working very closely with SETU in Carlow. So they have a degree course in brewing and distilling, and they have set up some research a couple of years ago on wheat and Irish cereals, and native Irish cereals, to optimise them for use in the distilling industry specifically. So Sinead Morris was leading that research. She's the director of the brewing and distilling course in Carlow. What she'll do is she'll do a lot of her work on lab scale and develop methods to optimize yield on Irish grains at a lab scale. And then the intention is to come in here and scale up, basically. So have it at a bigger scale, micro pilot scale, and then share those findings with the industry. So that's just one stream, I suppose, of what has been done to date. There's loads of other, the list is endless in terms of opportunity for the industry. In malting, you've got three industries there: malting, brewing and distilling. So it's to optimize those three and to support those three, and it's exciting to see new players coming in to all of those industries. My own background, I have worked in the brewing and distilling industry for all of my career. So I started in Diageo, I worked there for 13 years in two different breweries. I worked in Baileys as well. I started in Baileys, and then I moved from there to the drinks, or to whiskey. So I worked in Waterford Distillery and Royal Oak Distillery. So I kind of have a bit of both brewing and distilling. And if somebody had said to me when I was in Royal Oak or Waterford or whatever, listen, there's a centre here that you can kind of farm out your trials to, would you be interested in using it? I would have taken the hand and all, because you're not upsetting your production plans. If there's an issue or if your trial doesn't work out, it's not going to cost you a fortune, So it's a great facility to have. So it's to feed into the research that happens in Chagosc. So it's to support that and close the circle in terms of the Irish grains and how they perform malting, brewing, distilling wise. It's to support any research that any industry in particular would like to be to like to do. So if they've got any particular question that they want to ask from a research point of view, we would work with them, and probably another, we would have to get a university involved as well, so probably SETU. There's a couple of projects that we're hoping to get started over the next kind of 6 to 8 months as well. So a student will come in and a particular industry might have a question about something or other. And we would get a student in to research that on their behalf and use the centre here for that. So it's the research piece. It's also to allow the industry to optimise their processes. So if they want to rent out this facility to allow them to do trials, that's obviously an option for them. And then the other piece then is to support training and development within the industry. So SETU and the guys there will come out here as part of their course, and they'll do some practical work on site here. And it's just much more hands-on. You know, they can come in when we're malting something, they can come in when we're brewing something, and when we're distilling something, and they can actually see it kind of, you know, up close and personal. And there's nothing like seeing something to make it come to life, you know. So that's the aim of the centre. Yeah, right. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, maybe if you mean that, there's a lot there to kind of talk.
Yes, there is.
I'm going to take you back to one step. So, yeah. So Jogusk was set up as a research and support for farming specifically. Yes. Am I right? So do you still see that the farming, is that like with the center, who do you see as your main clients? Is it the farm?
Well, no. So there's a lot of Chagas sites in Ireland, and then there's two other big centers that already have been set up to support industry like this, right? So you have the center in Ashtown, which supports the food industry. So they have a huge center there, just like this one, that has been developed over the last probably about 10 years. And, you know, if somebody has an idea to make, I don't know, a new yogurt or some sort of food, they could go into that centre and say, right, this is my idea. I've done it at a kitchen scale. I want to scale it up into a production scale. I'll come in here. And so they talk to Enterprise Ireland, and they probably get what they call innovation vouchers. So Enterprise Ireland will give them funding towards some training to use some of the kit that's available in the centre in Ashtown. Similarly, there's a centre in Cork, in Moore Park in Cork, and that's set up, I'd say, a lot longer than Ashtown. It's a very big centre, and that supports the dairy industry. So, you know, if anyone was looking at cheeses or whey products, protein, you know, the list is endless. There's a whole centre down there that supports that industry. So it's industry that will be supported through those. And similarly, that's the intention for here. So, you know, already the research and the work that has been done by the guys in crop research here, that is supporting the farmers. But what I'll be doing in here will be supporting the industry.
Okay. So then, even though Chagask is still nominally a farming support, it's kind of the farmers will benefit as the industry grows and the industry benefits. So that's...
Yeah, well, it's like a lot of the projects here will be funded from different government bodies. So the Department of Agriculture would fund a project in here, for example. And they have funded that research project that Sinead has been working on. So, and obviously the goal there is to promote Irish grains. So so they would have funded the Dabbing Cap. It's called Dabbing Cap Project, is building capacity into Irish native grains. So they essentially would fund something that's going to help the tillage sector, but like the likes of Enterprise Ireland will fund businesses as well, you know. So it's okay. Very specific for the drinks industry here, really.
Right. I was just trying to understand, you know, whether like if there's a grain or there's something that isn't necessarily sourced from Ireland, you'll still help the industry.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's an Irish business, of course. Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's not just like that. You will.
Direct. No.
Okay, that was just my. I didn't know if there was kind of a conflict. I didn't know how.
No, not at all. No. Yeah, it's Irish businesses. Yeah.
Okay, so it's Irish businesses to just help them brew and distill. And you mentioned there. I mean, you mentioned Waterford. I actually was talking. I think it's last year now with Angelita Hines from.
Oh yeah.
So I mean Waterford, obviously, that background, they have done. I mean, tons of work on, you know. Mm-hmm. On terroir, on, you know, understanding the stuff. So understanding like what the different grains do and what the whiskey brewed or distilled from this field might, you know, barley in that field might be different from one a mile down the road or something. So is that something that you see, like you mentioned that when you were there, you would have jumped at this center. Is that something that you see being a big portion of what you're doing?
Yeah, like I think so. I think, you know, I mean, people want to stand out as different, and it's a very competitive market, and there's a lot of Irish whiskey on the market currently, and you know, similarly in brewing as well, you know, people want to stand out and be different. And also everybody's faced with the challenge of sustainability. And, you know, can you source your grain local? Can you source all your ingredients locally? And that's just going to become a bigger and bigger challenge for everyone, really. And the whole waste streams as well. So, I mean, you look at what's coming out of distilleries, and there's animal feed that can be used as an animal feed. But is that the best option? And is there a more viable route for that type of thing? So it's to answer all of those questions. But I think, yeah, I mean, there's different distilleries looking at Irish peat versus Scottish peat, and is there a difference in flavour profile from that? And there's breweries looking at wanting to produce all of their own grains, their own hops, all their own ingredients on their own farm, and, you know, potentially malt their own batches as well. And is that an option? It's to help that, I suppose, that type of thing to happen, really, you know. So, as I said, the list is endless, and people are very clever with the differences that they're looking at, and wanting to make themselves stand out because of their differences, you know.
Yeah. Just another one. On the same time, I was talking to Angelita. We had Maurice Deasy from Canvas Brewery in Tipperary.
Yes. Maurice.
Yeah. So I mean, as you know, he's very heavy into heritage grains and that.
Yes.
So
yes.
that is the difference that he brings to it as well. So does that mean, if someone comes to you, I'm just going to follow my train of thought here from Maurice and his heritage grains. So I never realized until I spoke to him and to Angelita, just, you know, there are these heritage grain banks, and I never realized the amount of work the farmer has to do to grow them up.
Of
grains into something there. Is that something you'd be doing down there then as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's driven by what people want and what people need. And yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting area to explore. And can we go back to, you know, how things were produced in the past and resurrect the flavours? And there's a lot of people really interested in that. I have a good number of samples of heritage grains in here that I need to get working on. But is that the next big thing potentially? But there's a huge commitment required, you know, as you said there, from farmers and you know, from an investment point of view, even, you know, if you take out a heritage grain from bank, and like, there's a reason some of them have been kind of parked to one side in that they haven't performed in the field, or they're more susceptible to infection, or, you know, they mightn't yield as well or whatever. So then when you're asking somebody to grow that for you, it's a big ask, you know. So it's to try and support that whole piece. So to use the expertise in here to help the farmer, and, you know, maybe look at different soils and where would be the best place to sow the various different styles of heritage, and how do you optimize it at every stage, really, you know. I mean, okay, it's one thing to grow a heritage variety, then you have to malt it and brew it and distill it. So are you going to get anything out of it the other side? Yeah. So, you know, it's to answer and to help answer those questions for people, you know. Right. So I think it's really exciting. And there's a lot of opportunity there in it, and there's a huge amount of interest as well, you know. So, yeah, I think what Maurice is doing is really interesting, and I've seen his place. And, it's very exciting, you know.
I fully agree. I've maybe a couple of years ago, I might have not realised just how exciting, but it is. I mean, all this, like I said, I had no idea. You hear about heritage grains, but I had no idea the amount of work you know, they give you four or five grains and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to grow it up over a number of years. Like, it's a huge investment, you know. Yeah. So,
but you've done a lot of that work. So someone can come in, they won't get the grain off you, but you'll be able to tell them what grain works. Grain works for what beer they want to make, or what soil to grow it in.
Yes.
So you'll do all that research. Okay, so like you said, the Irish distilling and brewing industry has grown leaps and bounds in the last 10 years, probably, you know. How are most of them? I don't know too much about whiskey now, to be honest with you. But the beer, like, most of them are brewing the same types of beers and the same, you know, it's IPA, that's the thing. So, but there are these
there are brewers who are experimenting off with different sites. So how are you going to approach those brewers? Like, are you going to wait for the brewers to come to you? Or like, if a brewer is happy making IPAs, will you be trying to steer them?
I purposely haven't gone out to brewers, to be honest with you, because I haven't got all the kits set up here yet. And I want to have a full-scale brewing kit set up before going out to chat to people. So I've been chatting to a few people, but I haven't actually gone out big and bold and said, I'm here, come in and use a center or whatever. But once we have the kit set up, that's what I'll be doing. And it's to ask them questions in terms of how can we help. I suppose the first stage is securing the funding for the center. And we're hoping to hear over the next few weeks whether we have secured it. So we're hoping that we get funding from the Department of Ag to put in a pilot brewery and distillery. So then the intention would be to open up the plans. So I have two or three versions of the plans for the centre in drawn up, and it's to open that up to the industry, essentially. So brewers and distillers, and let them have a look at what I think we need to put into the centre, what I think, and a few different design consultants that think will be worth putting into the centre. And then it's to ask them what they would like to see in the centre. And it's like, it's just it's an opportunity for them to put in whatever they think they would use themselves, Right. So then it's driven by the industry. And then we will go and kit out the center and set it up and allow people to use it and do their trials in here and rent it like for a couple of days or a week or whatever is needed. But it's very important that the wish list is driven by the industry, not just me, So that's the process. So currently I'm setting up the lab for the malting side. So we've got a bit of kit after arriving in to support the analysis for malting, which is great. Hopefully we'll hear over the next few weeks regarding funding and the next phases. Yeah,
I guess that was something maybe I hadn't emphasized enough. I mean, you are very new. Like,
yes, oh yeah.
The center, like the whole target is down there, is been around for a decade. As yes. I said, you are very,
the center very is new. Exactly, yeah. Very all much right. At the start. So, yeah.
Probably
yeah.
Should have emphasized that at the beginning.
No worries.
So what have you done? So like you set it up in January, was it?
Well, yeah, no, I started in January and there was a malting kit set up, so purchased. So I've been working on that to optimize the micro malting and the pilot malting plant, and I've also been just trying to procure instrumentation for the lab to support the analysis that's going on in there. So I had a student from SETU here over the summer helping me with all that validation work and setup work. And I've gone out to various events over the course of the year just to kind of raise the profile a little bit as well. But again, I've just only done a couple because I really want to get the centre set up. Right. So there's a lot in terms of just getting that body of work up and running. So that's what we've been working on so far. There's a few projects that we have, obviously research projects that are ongoing, but I can't talk about them. So not yet, anyway.
Okay. So can you say, like, are they something that came from you, or was that an industry?
It was an industry. There was a PhD student wanting to have a look at opportunities in one area of brewing. So she approached the centre. She's done a couple of PhDs already. And so we have an industry partner with her. So that's a four-year project and very exciting one, really, really exciting one. Can't talk about it, unfortunately, but that's taken off. And the one with SETU that Sinead is working on with Alison there as well. So that's another really good one. They're after optimising the use of wheat for the distilling industry, and they're looking at other grains now, so maize, rye and oats, so optimizing the processes for those at a lab scale. And then once they have them done, then I'll scale them up in here and see if they're worth going after from a production point of view or not. So yeah, they're the few that we're working on. So
and where did the idea, sorry, I'm jumping around here a bit, where did the idea for the center come from, like who generated the
I think it's like there's a huge need for that. Like the tillage sector is under serious pressure and has been over the last number of years, and it's really driven by the Department of Agriculture to try and support that industry. So the dairy industry has obviously been booming in Ireland for the last whatever 10 years or so, and you know, those farmers are now kind of driving the cost of land up, which is putting more pressure on tillage. And there's challenges in terms of the environmental impact of the different styles of farming. So to try and address all of those and to try and address the sustainability piece that all the brewers and distillers are facing, we really need to go and support the tillage sector, because that's how we're going to solve all of those issues, you know. So it's driven from the Department of Agriculture to support the tillage industry. So that's where it's come from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure not the only one, but I was amazed. I always assumed Ireland has, you know, so much farming that most of our grains were from Ireland. It was only when the Ukraine invasion happened that I suddenly realized how much was just imported.
I know, such an eye opener. Yeah, and it's just such a missed opportunity, you know. I mean, we have the best land in, you know, Europe, Ireland, world for growing barley. And we just need to optimize that and support that. Obviously, yes, it's the idea of the centre was to support tillage, but it's also, you know, it's to support all the brewers and distillers as well out there. Like, I mean, I worked in Diageo, and Diageo have their own research centre, and the big guys like would all have their own research centre, and it's all done in house. But when I moved to Waterford Distillery and to Royal Oak, it was completely different, you know. So you kind of, when I started in Waterford, Mark Rainier had contacts in Scotland, so we spent a lot of our time training in Scotland. Now we did get help from the Irish distilleries as well, but the first port of call was Scotland, you know. So there's such an amount of distilleries and breweries in Ireland now that they need this support. Yeah. So it's to support them as well.
Yeah, and most of them are, you know, they're not exactly making fortunes.
So no, exactly. Yeah. So it's to give them a kind of a support from everything, from training and development and research and all of that great stuff.
Yeah, like that. There's two other things jumped at me there that they need. So, I mean, we've been talking about grains and malting and all, you know, malting, different styles of malting and that, but I mean, brewing obviously has, you know, it has the yeast, it has water, it has those other components as well. So is that an area you want to get into, maybe trying to...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, all of it will have to be looked at, investigated, and seeing what kind of opportunities we can create and how we can help brewers. And I'm sure, I have no doubt that there's loads of guys out there, like, you know, thinking, like, I'd love to try this. I wonder, could we try this in the centre? And, you know... Because I know myself, when I was in production, I would have loads of ideas of stuff I wanted to try, but you just couldn't, because you were on the production treadmill, and you just, you know, you took, yeah, like took a week said, out. It was too expensive, you know.
Yeah,
so
Well, because like we said, they're small. They basically have to produce the beer that sells, and they can't waste a lot of time to do things. Because what struck me is recently I've been talking to a couple of people, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was talking to someone in America, and they've set up and they're launching beers that are basically unmalted, and they said, like, that is reasonably common in the industry, but it's hidden, nobody does it. Right. But from a sustainability point of view, that is their unique selling point, that you don't malt, but you get enzymes, you use the enzymes externally. So
okay, that
does match into the sustainability of what you're trying to do there, and
definitely
is. And then
definitely
so there are all these things that nobody...
Oh, there's so...
like so this man, he was telling me, like, you know, we had to throw away the first 5 batches of beer that we produced because we didn't know what we were doing. Whereas if you're able to...
No, exactly.
And then the other side of it, I guess, is marketing. So that maybe is not it, but that... Sorry, I'm trying to get my thoughts in train here. So the marketing of what we're saying is, you know, local beers or Irish beers made with Irish grains and stuff, is that, do you see that as being a marketing advantage that people could eventually have? It's maybe not a big deal now, but that they
I look at it, yeah, I suppose it's back to the consumer. What do they want? You know, do they care if they're Irish grain in this? You know, yeah. I mean, I think ultimately each business is going to be challenged with their carbon footprint. And that's what it's going to come down to. They're going to have to do something about their sustainability piece, and where they're sourcing the grains from, because they're going to be fined if they don't. You know, it's very serious. So it's to try and I don't think we can even get ahead of it now. We're very far behind. We've a lot of work to do in terms of our sustainability journey. So I think that's where it's going to be driven from. You know. I do think people are more conscious and becoming more conscious of sustainability. And so maybe that will be a reason for them, you know, wanting to buy a beer that's produced, everything is produced from their own farm or their own locality. And that's their way of supporting the sustainability agenda. So, yeah, there's two kind of ways of looking at it, I suppose. But I think ultimately we don't have a choice but to go this route. And it's how do we support the farming industry as well to optimize it and to make sure everyone is making a viable business out of it, you know, livelihood out of it.
Yeah. So that again comes back to testing out different strains of grain as well, then to see what can handle.
Exactly. Yeah. Like even if you look at how non-alcoholic beer has taken off as well, it's a huge opportunity there, and it's probably not a lot of brewers that, or maybe hardcore brewers that would be interested in non-alcoholic, but it's huge, like it's massive, and there's huge challenges in terms of the stability of it, because there's no alcohol in it, obviously. So, you know, are there questions there that, you know, a research student could have a look at to see how to optimize the non-alcoholic brewing process to restrict or to reduce the risk of it becoming infected at a later stage, you know, through the transport process. It's a huge challenge, you know. It's one of the reasons why people won't make non-alcoholic, because they're afraid of the risk that it'll pose in the market, you know, but there's a huge demand for it at the same time.
Yeah, no, I mean, just as you're talking, you're coming back to like, you must have this huge, your list must be out the door.
Oh, it's massive.
Where do you decide to start?
I know.
It is,
it's huge. It's huge. And I've had a few people approach me as well in terms of supporting different elements of their business. And so it's, and I love it all. Like, it's fantastic. But I mean, you just need to prioritize like in every other role, you know. Ultimately, it's the ones that succeed in terms of getting funding and support from to progress their research. So that really is how it's driven. So if you can get Enterprise Ireland to help the various industries fund their training or fund whatever work that they want to do, then that's the route to go. So, yeah, okay. No, there's a lot in it.
Yeah, sorry, that just raises the question there. So you're in the first stage. You've got your malting, micro malting set up. You're now hoping. Yeah. To get your brewing and distilling plant set up.
Yeah.
And then I'm wondering about the split of the funding on it, because you will hopefully have ongoing funding from the government, and then you will do projects with private brewers and distillers. But the pure research side of it, like how will that be funded directly from the government? You have to go on a project.
It will. It's project by project, and it's company by company. But like certainly from the conversations that I've had with various different companies in Ireland, there's a huge appetite. There's two big companies in particular that I've been speaking to, and they are very keen to partner with us. And that's how all the other kind of the projects would have in the other centres would run as well. So you've got a big company here that's producing an ingredient for the brewing and distilling industry. And they might want a whole suite of trials to be carried out twice or three times a year. Then they will invest in here to enable them to do that. Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple of big guys that are very keen to partner here. So it's just once we have everything set up that kind of big project work will kick off, you know. So and I need to be very careful about that as well, because obviously the big guys have a lot of money and they could essentially rent the place for 6 months of the year, and that's no help to the smaller guy, you know. So it's just need to be very careful about being fair with everybody in terms of the centre and its use and what people can get out of it.
And would that would that allow you, like, is there scope there for you if you come up with an idea for a project and it maybe takes a few years, like say a, sorry, say a heritage grade that no one else is interested in but you think might have potential, is there scope for you to do a project of your
own? Oh, there is absolutely, as long as I have a research partner like the likes of SETU or TUD or somebody involved with me, and then the project funding, if it gets funded, then yes, absolutely.
Okay, so so I guess when, like, okay, so let's talk about, you're going to have in the next few weeks hopefully start putting the brewing and distilling plant in. When would that be expected to be operational?
So the first thing is the funding piece. So, you know, if we get our funding, then we will approach the industry. So I will look to set up a kind of a technical group or a committee of people from brewing and distilling and malting in Ireland, and kind of share with them the vision that I have, or the guys and myself have here, in terms of what to put into the centre, and let them review that, add or take away from it as they feel is required, and then that'll go out to tender. So it's a bit of a slow process, unfortunately, but that's just the way it has to run. So the tender process could take 6 to 8 months. I'd say, you know, all going well, it could be the end of next year before we start putting in kit. But having said all of that, like, I'm still being contacted from different breweries and distilleries to help them with production issues that they have, and, you know, sending samples in here, and I have kit in here that they might not necessarily have, so that is keeping me very busy as well. So it's, you know, and once we get kit in here, then we need more staff to run the center as well. So it's at the very early stages, but quite busy.
But it's already good. The interesting thing is, like, I mean, you're already getting people coming to you.
Yes. Which is brilliant. And I love it. And
the interest is there, that the need is obviously there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is great.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, where I suppose I'll just end on a general question. Where do you see the split between distilling and brewing? Do you see both of them continuing to grow possibly over the next years?
I'd love to see the two of them grow, and I really would. I spent as much time, probably more time brewing than I did in distilling, and when I left brewing industry, it was very much on the down, you know. I mean, I left a brewery in Kilkenny that was closed after I left, and then Waterford was closed. It was very awful. It was awful to go through that, and I would hate to see, you know, the brewing industry to have to maybe go through something like that again. But I would love to see 50-50. Obviously the risk sometimes with whiskey is lower, because you can have your spirit maturing over time, but it's a very expensive business to get into in the first place. So they both have probably equal challenges, but just different challenges.
You don't hear about them, at least I don't. You do hear about some breweries then opening distilleries, you know. There doesn't seem to be otherwise much of a communication or something to them, or is that just my view from outside? Is there?
I don't know that. Maybe. I don't know. I find the industry very small, and I find people very, very helpful across the board, like brewing and distilling, regardless. I just think that there's just a network of people there that are just really nice, like, and help each other out. So I would say it's pretty well connected. And I'd say people, you know, if they're opening up or adding on a distillery element to their brewery, it's a great opportunity, because there's huge value even in just bulk sales. There's massive trading going on in Ireland between different distilleries, just bulk whiskey, not necessarily selling, you know, packaging and going through the whole marketing side, just bulk sales, and that could support a brewery. If the sales are being, you know, under pressure or whatever. So I just think, you'd hope that the centre will be able to help both equally. And obviously the malting as well. There's a lot of opportunity in the malting side as well. So hopefully that's another industry that will continue to grow.
Yeah, do you see the malting becoming... Do you see, like, all of this business, probably not whiskey so much, but the brewers and the distillers, or brewers and malters, like, they can be done on small scale. Do you see a lot of small scale businesses around the place as opposed to one big conglomerate?
I've seen three new maltsters in the last 3 to 4 months. you know, that announcing funding and announcing planning permission and hoping to progress, which is a lot, you know, considering that there's only, you know, one or two kind of monsters in Earth. But yeah, small scale. So again, it's people are looking at sustainability and how are we going to keep producing sustainably and keep our business floating afloat, you know, and doing the right thing and not having to face the challenges that are going to be posed potentially from the, you know, the environmental restrictions.
Yeah, no, that's coming across very much from you there as being the major factor that I think maybe people haven't, or, you know, brewers, distillers haven't thought enough about. They're thinking about it, but maybe it is a bigger issue than a lot of them realize, just on their focus on day-to-day.
Yes, I know, exactly. Yeah, and that's what happens. So, you know, people are busy on a day-to-day basis, and it's like, yeah, you just have to get from A to B. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's totally. Obviously you're able to educate them then on that as well. And kind
hopefully, and help them. Yes, whatever way I can, yes.
Okay, well, I mean, it sounds, I know it's early days, I know, but sometimes that, I guess that's the most exciting part, is that the
exactly.
You know what you want to do with the, also the most frustrating, because you can't quite get there.
Yeah, no, don't get me started on that now. I wouldn't have a whole lot of patience, Brian, but anyway.
Well, you wouldn't have to, from the sound of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Also sounds like you'll have enough to keep you going, to keep you distracted.
Yeah, no, it is. It's busy now and it's good and it's all interesting and different every day. So I love it. Yeah, it's great. Great. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a huge resource for the country. I mean, it does.
Hopefully. You know, hopefully, Brian, yeah. Yeah.
Like you've given the examples of the, you know, Ashburn and Moor Park there, as like if it grows anything like that, it's going to be a massive resource. So So listen, I'll let you go. So unless there's something I should have asked, is there anything that you're saying, God, why didn't he ask me this?
I don't think so. No, I think you've covered everything pretty well. You'll have to come down and visit at some stage.
I will.
Yes, absolutely.
I haven't been down to that Oak Park at all. I've been to Moor Park once or twice.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Yes.
But I'm not.
We have an excuse now to come in.
Okay, we'll do that someday.
I'll show you around.
All right, listen, thanks a million.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Best of luck with it. And hopefully the brewers out there will start kind of contacting you with their ideas, because I'm sure from what I've seen, you know, they have plenty as well.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Great stuff. Thank you, Brian.
All right.